Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Let's go!
This is the Big E Sports Show.
On the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, here we go. SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show on this Saturday morning. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Super excited. It is week 9 of the NFL season. We've got lots to get into. Right now, our focus to lead things off is we're going to do a recap. Let's talk some World Series. My good friend, my producer, that is Jack McCraw. Give him a follow on Twitter, at the Jack McCraw. And Jack, how are we doing? I know you're lamenting your Astros. Unfortunately, the Braves won in 6 games on Tuesday night. Just your overall takeaways.
There's a lot to take away. I know this is a shorter segment, so I won't go too into detail. But the fact of the matter is that the Braves pitching really shut down the Astros hitting. And if you can't hit, you can't win. It comes down to that.
Give us the future of the Astros as we look to the offseason as far as what kind of movement could take place in free agency.
Well, the Astros have 7 free agents right now, and I say the most notable are probably Carlos Correa, Zach Greinke, and Justin Verlander. I think one of those 3 might re-sign. I don't see Justin Verlander coming back, so it would be between Zach Greinke and Carlos Correa. Other free agents are Kendall Graveman, Yimi Garcia, bullpen arms, and of course Marwin Gonzalez, who's had a long career with the Astros before he returned in 2020.
You know, Carlos Correa, you mentioned him. Will he stay? Will he go?
I would love to see him stay. I just don't see the Astros giving him exactly what he wants, because he wants $200+ million, and the Astros have never given a contract out that's more than $125 million when they extended Jose Altuve. So I think there is a chance that the Astros could open their checkbooks, but I'm not holding my breath on that one.
You know, speaking of resigning, what about Dusty Baker? I mean, I thought his in-game, late-game strategy was on point. They got to keep this guy, right?
He certainly did, because he managed the pitching very well in the postseason, to the fact that the bullpen had one of the best bullpen ERAs in all of baseball during the postseason. So Astros need starting pitching, and they should re-sign Dusty Baker because the players like him. And honestly, that might be a factor for Correa staying if Dusty Baker stays. He loves playing for him. So I think Dusty Baker will re-sign and be the Astros manager next year.
You know, Jack, give me a quick hit before we go to commercial break. You know, the Braves, I mean, what a magical season for them.
It's been a very good season. They only had 88 wins, and they lost their best player, Ronald Acuna Jr., early in the summer. So hats off to them. They really deserve this World Series championship.
Good stuff coming your way here, SportsMap Radio Network. We will be right back after this quick break, getting you ready for all the games on Sunday NFL. And, of course, it is week 10 of the college football season. Big day. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 1, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker-Campbell, so glad we are a part of your Saturday morning. And you know what? It is hard to believe. It is week 10 of the college football season, only 4 weeks left of the regular season. We're thrilled to have the opportunity to catch up with a former quarterback at the University of Georgia, now ESPN college football analyst. We always look forward to his perspective each and every week, and that is Hudson Mason. Good morning, Hudson.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, doing great. Certainly, it's a very big November. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee has spoken, and the first rankings of the 2021 season are out. So just overall, what are your takeaways? I know you're pumped and fired up because your Georgia Bulldogs are ranked as the number one team in the country. What say you, Hudson?
Yeah, I guess that's the only thing that probably the country can agree on is who is probably number one.
Amen.
Everything else outside of that seems to be pretty highly debatable and pretty contentious. Yeah, I mean, I didn't agree with Alabama being number two. You know, I think what's funny about Wake Forest is I think they have absolutely no chance, unfortunately, of getting in, even though they're undefeated. And, you know, I guess the problem I have with that the most is that if you take, you know, the Wake Forest Deacon Demons logo off the side of the helmet and you put Clemson Paul on the side of the helmet, they're with the same schedule, same teams, just a different logo on the side of the helmet. There's no doubt that Clemson's getting in, right? I mean, there's no doubt. So it just proves that, you know, there are certain biases and there's certain things that the committee takes into consideration that they don't for others. And, you know, I thought Wake Forest was way too low. And unfortunately, I think they're going to, no matter if they go undefeated and win the ACC title, I don't think the committee's going to put them in because of their strength of schedule and probably because more so because it's Wake Forest more so than anything. And then, you know, I thought that the place that Cincinnati was put didn't really necessarily shock me that much because I think there's a lot of things in front of Cincinnati. I can't remember if they're five or six. That will play itself out. That could still potentially land them a spot. You know, you look at Alabama, they got to play Georgia. If Georgia beats them, they'll be out. You know, you look at Michigan State and Ohio State. And so there are some certain things that could play itself out. I think still Cincinnati has got a little bit more of a long shot than we probably originally thought.
You mentioned Cincinnati. How should we feel about the committee's placement of Oklahoma?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about right. You know, haven't looked great at times this year, but they're undefeated in a Power 5 conference, and I think they probably took into consideration, since they've made the quarterback change, how much better of a team they look. So, you know, Oklahoma's one of those teams where, you know, they win, they're in. You know, I think that's a pretty easy one. I think it gets a little more complicated when you start talking about Oregon and Ohio State, and you know, both those teams have one loss, and then Oregon beat them head-to-head, and how much does head-to-head matter for the committee? And then, you know, Oregon has a really, really bad loss to Stanford. And so, I think as far as Oklahoma, I think the committee got that one right.
ESPN college football analyst who joins us each and every week, that is Hudson Mason. Glad you're with us on Sports Map Radio Network. So how much does this poll, does it really matter at this point in the season? I guess it can serve as a great motivator, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think it really – it definitely registers to players and coaches because we've become so conditioned now that, you know, hey, college football playoff is the only poll that matters, and technically it is. You know, there's only four teams, and the unfortunate part about the playoff and it only being about four teams is that I feel like we have made the scope far too little for college football in terms of only four teams will define their year as successful. You know, it's really come down to, well, did you make the college football playoff? And if you didn't, then you didn't have a good year. I don't think that's realistic on how every program, every head coach, every athletic director probably tends to view their year. And so I think that's why college football expansion is probably needed for one reason. But, I don't know if you go back and look at the past couple years since it's existed that how many teams that were ranked inside the first week of every season's college football playoff poll when it came out, like week 8 or 9 or 10, how many of those teams actually went on to win or even just be in the college football playoff? You know, there's still so much football to be played. So I think you would find, I actually was trying to start doing that research the other day, and it's a little harder to find than you would think. So my point is that there's still so much football to be played, and you know, the last month of the season tends to kind of sort itself out.
We're wrapping up our time. Hudson Mason, ESPN college football analyst, has been with us for a quick segment. And, of course, tonight, this afternoon, you are going to be on the call, 4 o'clock kickoff with UCF versus Tulane. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, excited about this one. I mean, I think UCF ends up winning. And, you know, Tulane, unfortunately, has had a rough year. They've had a really good program the last couple of years under Willie Fritz. And for whatever reason, this year, they've just really struggled at 1-7. But they've given some really good quality teams good run for their money. I mean, they barely lost to Cincinnati last week, barely lost to Oklahoma earlier in the year. So, you know, UCF still has a slight chance, even though it's a slim one, to get to the conference championship game. And, you know, they got to beat Tulane today and then SMU next week. But they lost Dylan Gabriel in the Louisville game earlier in the year with a broken collarbone. So they've been moving along with a backup freshman quarterback. And, you know, Gus Malzahn in his first year down at UCF has had a lot of injuries, but he's kept the train on the tracks pretty well.
It is game day. Getting you ready, ESPN college football analyst. Simply the best. That is Hudson Mason. Have a great call. We look forward to breaking it all down next week, which is hard to believe. It'll be week 11 of the college football season. Thank you, Hudson.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way right after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back on this Saturday morning. SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Always love to hear from our audience and engage with us at eRadio Sports. We're live on Twitter. Info, eRadioSports.com, PodcastArena.com, and you can download our app at SportsMap Radio. You know what? The 2021-22 NBA season, it is underway. We've got a ton of storylines that we're going to dissect and break down in our next segment. I can't believe already the first quarter of the regular season is underway. We are thrilled to have with us for the very first time, that is Jonathan Von Tobel. He is the senior NBA analyst at VSiN, and he's got lots of good stuff that he's going to share. Good morning, Jonathan. First time on our show and our network.
Thanks for having me. You know, anybody who wants to call me up and talk NBA, I'm excited to do so. So thank you.
Let's do this. Okay, so which NBA teams have kind of surprised you so far early out of the gate? We're only a quarter through the season, right?
I think, you know, the one, and it's not that the Miami Heat, I didn't think they were going to be bad. I didn't realize that they were going to be this good, right? Especially on the defensive end. I think they're definitely at the top of the list. You know, 6-1 straight up to start the year through their first seven games, right? 6-1 ATS, like they've done a really good job in covering numbers. They've clearly been undervalued by the market. Only 98.6 points given up per 100 possessions on the defensive end of the floor. And they've actually been one of the best offensive teams in the NBA, too. So I think it's been really surprising to see how dominant Miami's been early on. Their schedule hasn't been really tough, but they've gotten some pretty good wins, blowing out the Milwaukee Bucks early, taking out the Brooklyn Nets on their home floor. So I think Milwaukee or Miami is definitely at the top of the list of teams that have surprised me, and the Chicago Bulls are too. You know, the Bulls, again, are a team that didn't really have a great schedule, but they have answered a lot of tough questions, right? You know, they went back and forth to the Knicks, came back really really strongly in the fourth quarter there, did lose that game, and fought tooth and nail with Philadelphia, but took care of the Utah Jazz. When they went into Chicago and played them, they've been one of the better offensive teams and defensive teams in the NBA. I think if we're talking about surprising teams, those two are definitely at the top of the list.
You know, I think one of the biggest surprises, Jonathan, is you rattle off so many of the teams in the Eastern Conference, and the script has flipped, right? Like, we're always talking about the Western Conference, how, you know, formidable it is, and the Eastern Conference, it's a juggernaut.
Oh, yeah. It's gotten so much better, too. I mean, look at them, like Milwaukee, for example, right? You know, we're talking about being on the outside looking into the postseason, but they've got so many injuries at this point right now. Once they get fully healthy, you know, that's the team that I think is legitimately, you know, has a legitimately good shot yet again to win the Eastern Conference, so even against a team like the Brooklyn Nets, right? The Brooklyn Nets are starting to figure things out on the offensive end of the floor. We talked about Miami and Chicago, and then you get to the other teams. What happens if Ben Simmons comes back to Philadelphia at some point, right? And they decide to work things out, and all of a sudden they get much better, too. So, yeah, the Eastern Conference, it's going to be quite the slog for any team that comes out of it. Like, it's just
I think like three or four teams that are all around the same level of one another. And then you get the other two in Milwaukee and Brooklyn who are a little bit better. But either way, like no matter who comes out of it, it's going to be quite the journey through a really, really good conference at this point. The Eastern Conference has gotten so much better.
You're listening to The Voice, Jonathan Von Tobel. He is the senior NBA analyst at VSiN. And let's just pause. Jonathan, reach out, connect with our audience. Where can they find all of your good stuff on your 24/7 broadcast network dedicated exclusively to sports betting?
Oh, you can go to vsin.com/JVT. That's where all the written work is. I also host a show daily with my co-host Matt Humans at 1 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. So you can watch us up on vsin.com or iHeartRadio or any of those other platforms, too.
You know, it's interesting as we dissect and break down the Eastern Conference. Did you see this shift coming, you know, years ago that the Eastern Conference would perhaps be top dog?
You know, I think you saw it kind of coming when Kevin Durant joined the Nets, right? Like you could see where if the Nets were going to work out, that this is going to be a team that was going to regularly compete for titles. You already had Milwaukee in the mix and how good Giannis had been, right, with his consecutive MVP. So you kind of saw at least that there were some powers at the top of the conference, right, that could battle with the Western Conference. But now I think when you're looking at it from top to bottom, given all of the injuries, too, remember in the Western Conference, right, Jamal Murray, Kawhi Leonard, all these guys who weren't playing at this point, Klay Thompson, you know, at this point, I think, like, we have a much more solid conference in depth for the Eastern Conference right now, too, in comparison to the Western Conference. So I think you saw the Eastern Conference's rise in terms of, like, two or three teams that would be competitive against any of the Western Conference foes that would meet them in the NBA Finals. But in terms of overall depth, like, this has come on pretty strong in the last, like, I'd say, few months, and it has been pleasantly surprising.
Hey, we are breaking it all down, talking some NBA, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Our very special guest on our network for the first time, that is Jonathan Von Tobel. Give him a follow on Twitter, at MeJVT. Okay, you have mentioned several times, JVT, the Brooklyn Nets, and they are the favorites to win the NBA title this season. Here's the question. I mean, can they get it done without Kyrie Irving?
I think so, and I think you're starting to see them get a little bit used to the way that these games are getting called. Their offense is starting to find the flow. You know, if you go back to earlier in the week, they take on the Indiana Pacers, and James Harden gets to the free throw line over 14 times. He puts up a triple-double in another game against the Detroit Pistons. They do a really good job against Atlanta and, again, have one of their better offensive games in terms of individual game offensive ratings against the Hawks. I think that was, on Wednesday night when you're looking at it from that perspective. So this is a team that's slowly starting to figure it out in terms of the way that these games are being called right now. And very quietly, they've actually done a pretty good job on the defensive end of the floor, too. Like, right, we don't think of the Brooklyn Nets is a good defensive team, but if you're looking at it in terms of overall defensive efficiency in non-garbage time minutes, it's the 10th best defense right now in the NBA. So I think they're going to slowly start to like work things out on the offensive end of the floor, and it's just a bonus if Kyrie Irving comes back. But I do think they still have the talent. James Harden, Kevin Durant are two of the best players in the NBA still, and when you have that kind of talent on the offensive end in this league, you're going to be pretty good. And so, yeah, I think they can still win the title without Kyrie Irving.
Okay, it's so interesting as you talk about KD and James Harden, their stock continues to be strong and steady. But Russell Westbrook, there's been such a drop-off. I mean, dramatic. I mean, his trajectory is going in a completely opposite direction. What's happened?
It doesn't help in this league that you don't have a jump shot, right? Like Russell Westbrook, throughout his career, has never been an efficient offensive player. But if you look at his accuracy in terms of jump shots, it's been pretty poor. You know, this year shooting about 41% on mid-range jump shots, only 22% from three. If you go all the way back to, let's say, I think 34% is a career high for him in a single season, so he's never been a floor spacer. And he's a high-volume guy, so that's always going to work against him when you're just not an efficient shooter. And so I think that's what we've seen. And I think we really need for him, if the Lakers are going to be successful, they need him to buy into the role of being more of an off-ball forward type player. He needs to set more screens. He needs to be more active off-ball in terms of cuts and all of those little things that he usually doesn't do, instead of just sitting in the corner and waiting for a shot that the defense is going to give him. They're not going to challenge him on any of these jump shots, right? He's not going to shoot contested threes. They're going to allow him to do so. So I think if he's going to work with LeBron and Anthony Davis, AD needs to start at the five, and he needs to be a little bit more active off the ball. And he can do it. We've seen a couple of games in which he has. It's just whether or not he's going to choose to do so, and it's been very fleeting so far in this early part of the season.
Okay, you talk about his activity off the ball. What are his rebounding numbers? Because he's always been so good, you know, as a guard, like pursuing and going after those caroms.
Yeah, I think right now, let me see, I've got this actually in front of me. His rebounding rate in terms of offensive rebounding rate for a guard is really good. It's just under 5%, and his defensive rebounding is fantastic too. It's not at the same level it's been in years past, but still, the defensive rebounding rate for a guard is 15.7%, like really solid. So he's always a really good offensive player, and I think Russell Westbrook's a really good player. Like, yeah. He doesn't rack up triple doubles for no reason, right? Especially when it comes to his passing. He's one of the best passers in the NBA by far. It's just now, you're not going to have the ball in your hands when you're playing with LeBron James, right? LeBron's not playing off the ball. You are now. And so now it's about changing that role. But, you know, I said this before the season started. Remember, he had this role, not exactly, but it was similar when he played with James Harden and the Houston Rockets. And there was a stretch from January up through March of that season where he was the best player in the NBA. And James Harden and the Rockets really relied on him to do so. But then he gets injured, they go to the bubble, and he's just not the same after catching COVID, too. So he can do this, I believe. We have seen it from him before. We saw it when he was in a Rockets uniform. Just like James Harden, he'll figure out his role because he's a professional. I think we're just right now, the Lakers are working out some kinks. They have a lot of different lineups. I think they started 8 different starting lineups so far. They're just tinkering with things. And I think by the time we get to the end of the season, he's a professional, and they'll figure out how to use him with AD and LeBron on the floor.
Jonathan Von Tobel, senior NBA analyst at VSiN. Follow him on Twitter, at me, JVT. Do you think Russell Westbrook, though, that, I mean, gosh, anytime I turn on any media outlet, it seems like they're criticizing him. Is it he being unfairly scrutinized?
Yeah, I think they're always going to be hyper-focused on the Lakers because it says Lakers on the chest, right? Like, they're just one of the more popular teams. It's LeBron James. It's a glamour franchise. So I don't know if it's so much about Russell Westbrook as it is. It's just a team that's going to get, like, hyper-focused coverage by a lot of media outlets, right? Out here in Las Vegas, they are a team that is backed almost every single night by bettors. Despite the fact, by the way, that they won't cover numbers, they're still getting bet almost every single night. So that's just the nature of playing in a Lakers uniform, I think. I think at the end of the day, you know, these stars always get that kind of coverage, right? And I think because we see the talent there, and I think that's why they really focus on the negative as opposed to the positive. And it's, to be fair, been pretty negative early on.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if the Russell Westbrook experiment, if it does ultimately work out with the Lakers. But just overall, man, do they have enough firepower to come out of the West?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, and think about the status of the West, too, right? Like we mentioned all the injuries there.
Yeah.
If you look at it overall, the Golden State Warriors are off to a really, really solid start. The Utah Jazz are still the Utah Jazz. But outside of that, it's a lot of teams that are kind of on the exact same level, right? The Los Angeles Clippers are off to a pretty poor start themselves with a losing record. The Memphis Grizzlies, I think, are a somewhat fragile team with a winning record considering how bad their defense has been. The Denver Nuggets bench is one of the worst in the NBA. So, yeah, in reality, we're talking about, at least at this point of the early part of the season, 3 legitimate teams in terms of contending for the Western Conference, and that doesn't include Phoenix, who has been off to a very poor start themselves and has off-court distractions with DeAndre Ayton and his contract situation. So I would say yes, like absolutely. When the dust settles and if the Lakers are the Western Conference champs, I wouldn't be surprised. But I also wouldn't be surprised if you told me right now that the Warriors or the Jazz were going to be the Western Conference reps, because I think there's a lot of parity in that league.
Is LeBron James, is he still a top 3 player in the league?
I think so. Like, I'm a big LeBron fan. So, you know, like,
what is he, 37?
He's getting up there. But I think when you're talking about, like, over the course of 82 games, is he going to be, like, perennial MVP, best player in the league? Probably not. But once you get to the playoffs, right, and you're talking about winning a best of 7 against anybody, yeah, he's going to be a top 3 player of the league. He can finish above everybody. He shoots more threes. He's done it each of the last 2 years. I think it's part about saving his body in the regular season. But once you get to the postseason, you're going to see LeBron James with the ball in his hand, with the ability to finish, with the incredible passing ability. Once you get to the postseason, that version of LeBron is definitely going to be there, I believe.
Okay, Steph Curry, Luka, Kevin Durant, we had already highlighted him, Giannis as favorites to win the MVP. Help out our audience. I'm not a betting girl, but if you were placing bets, like, who would you suggest to put a few bucks on?
So I think now I'll go a little bit deeper down the board, and I have a ticket on this man myself, and they are off to a little bit of a slow start, but once they start to get healthy and figure things out, this is going to be, I think, a pretty good ticket to have in your pocket. But I bet Paul George at 50-1 to win MVP once the season started. And he is off to an incredible start to the year in terms of what he's been doing for the Clippers. At this point right now, he is the league's leading scorer. He's averaging 7.7 rebounds, 4.7 assists. He has been insane with what he's been able to do. The other night, dropping 32 points on 50% shooting from three-point range against the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, and this is a team of the Clippers who, by the way, you know, they're not healthy, right? We talk about Kawhi Leonard, but Marcus Morris hasn't been in the lineup. Serge Ibaka hasn't been in the lineup. Once they start to get healthy and they find their way into playoff contention, which I believe they will, Paul George is going to start to climb up the ladder in terms of MVP talk. He's already getting a little bit of it. He has been every bit of incredible statistically, and I think that's definitely worth it if you're taking a little bit of a longer shot.
Good stuff. Senior NBA analyst VSIN. And one more time, the Twitter is at @MeJVT. We cannot let you go, Jonathan. You got to give me a hit. I know I'm in Houston, but I'm a big Dallas Mavericks fan. So talk to me about just the direction of this organization. You know, Jason Kidd now, the new head coach. What are your expectations, and how far can he take the Mavericks with Luka?
Yes, you know, I like Luka Doncic a lot as a player, but I have not been thrilled with Jason Kidd as a head coach going back to his time with the Milwaukee Bucks, right?
Yeah.
And I think this early part of the season has not been great for them. Just the way that they've been executing on offense, right? Like, the offense has been a little bit disjointed. They're very, very reliant on perimeter shooting, and there are teams that are like that. Portland Trailblazers are like that. Charlotte Hornets are like that. But the volume of attempts from three-point range and the lack of presence within 4 feet of the basket, to me, is pretty troubling. You know, because on those days where those shots aren't falling, your offense is going to have some high variance. And there's going to be nights where the shots are falling, you look incredible. There's going to be other nights where you have absolutely nothing and you can't go get the easy bucket. So with a player like Luka, I think they're legitimately a playoff team. They're going to be in that 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe even as high as 5 range if he has a really good season. But I think at the end of the day, like, they're going to have to switch some things up in terms of their offensive scheme if they want to be taken legitimately serious as a team. Because I think the way they do it, just running everything through Luka and the only other scoring guy and creator being Jalen Brunson, I think that's kind of a problem once you get into a postseason where you got to win a best of 7.
Jonathan Van Tobel, host of The Edge and senior NBA analyst on VSIN. Thank you so much. Great information. We look forward to continuing this conversation here in the next few weeks. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Love our audience, our listeners across the country. We can always connect live on Twitter at eRadio Sports. Info at eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com, and download our app for the very best in sports programming. That is Sports Map Radio. And you know what? If you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store, and they bring it out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your front door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. It is hard to believe already week 10 of the college football season. No surprise, at the top of the first college football playoff rankings is Georgia. They are truly the number one team in the country. But what about Oklahoma? I mean, did the Sooners get snubbed in the first edition of the college football playoff rankings? Certainly they had a very impressive win over Texas Tech. Our good friend from CBS Sports Radio in Oklahoma City, he's our guy. That is James Hale. So, James, looking forward to this conversation. I mean, were the Sooners treated right in these first rankings?
It just depends on what you think about being undefeated in a Power 5 conference really means. We've been talking about all year that Oklahoma has not played up to their potential yet in any game that they played. And they've made all these games way too close, much closer than they should have been. The opening game against Tulane, they won 40-35. Against Nebraska, it was a fourth quarter game, 23-16. Nebraska and Tulane are not having good seasons. West Virginia was at OU's 5-yard line, had a motion penalty that pushed them back. They didn't score. They ended up kicking a field goal, or they might have beaten Oklahoma, and Oklahoma won at that point 16-13. Kansas State, 37-31. Oklahoma had to hang on to win. Texas, Oklahoma had to rally back to win 55-48. TCU, they won fairly handily, but that was a pretty good ball game for about three quarters. But the Kansas game is the game that really kicks Oklahoma in the gut because they won 35-23. They didn't secure that victory until 42 seconds left. And then they played their most complete game yet last week against Texas Tech. So on one hand, Oklahoma was the preseason favorite, ranked as high as number two in the country in a lot of polls. They had the Heisman Trophy favorite in Spencer Rattler. They had an offensive line that everybody thought was going to be better, and a defense that was going to actually be its best defense since Alex Grinch had been at Oklahoma. None of those things have materialized. The Heisman Trophy quarterback has been benched for a guy that looks like he could be a Heisman Trophy candidate in Caleb Williams. The defense has never played as well as we thought it should have, you know, through the entire year. The offensive line has played better in the last 2 weeks, but the offensive line was a major part of the problem for Spencer Rattler early in the year. So did they get it right? Maybe. You know, but still, are they going to look at wins and losses? And if they do, how can you put a one-loss Michigan? How can you put a one-loss Ohio State? How can you put a one-loss Oregon and a one-loss Alabama ahead of an undefeated team in a Power 5 conference? They can look at it and they can say, well, we're going to analyze all these schools. You know, that's what we're here for. We're here to analyze. And in our opinion, after crunching all the data, we think we've actually got Oklahoma in a pretty good spot at 8. They still have a chance to get into that Final Four, and everything can still be good. But in many respects, nobody around here thought, none of us thought Oklahoma was going to be 8. We all thought they'd be 4th or 5th, and they're 8. Now, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. Oklahoma is going to play the 11th best team in Oklahoma State. They're going to play the 12th best team in Baylor. They're going to play an Iowa State team that might be able to sneak into the top 25 next week. So you're going to play, you know, teams that are going to be major bullet points for you, you know, down the stretch here. And probably if you win out, you still get in. But that's not a guarantee. If they really like this one-loss Alabama team as much as they do, and in my opinion, Alabama should not be a top-four team. I mean, they beat an unranked – they lost to an unranked Texas A&M team at the time. Now, A&M is better now, but they're not supposed to look at that. They're supposed to look at games that happened on the time they were played, and that's it. So, yeah, it's pretty frustrating. Did they get it right? The way Oklahoma's played this year, I would say yes. But the way that it was rolling with all the polls and what everybody was saying about OU, no, OU should have been a top four team.
CBS Sports Radio Network, James Hale, he's back with us at SportsMap Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. James, reach out, connect with our audience. Where can they subscribe to your daily online podcast at Patreon?
Well, all you got to do is just Google James Hale, Die Hard, Suda Report. It's you know, for $5, you get several different podcasts a day. You can donate whatever you want to the process. You know, we can use the site as a message board, too. We can have a lot of fun with it. And all you got to do is Google Die Hard, Sooner Report with James Hale.
Okay, James, you summarize just how the season has played out for this Oklahoma team. They have not been dominant. Fans, I'm sure they're upset. They're restless in Norman, in the state of Oklahoma. In your mind, give us, you know, where do you think Oklahoma should be ranked?
I think this should be a top-four team. They're undefeated.
Okay.
You know, they've got a quarterback that's surging, a young quarterback that has, you know, rejuvenized this team. Since he's been the quarterback, OU's offense has been what everybody thought it was going to be. It's a high-flying offense with the running game, you know, and he adds the quarterback run game element. I guess they thought, they said that after 3.5 games is not enough of film or not enough game time to really know what he's going to do. Well, that's not how they've always looked at things. It's always a, what have you done for me now, and who's the latest? I mean, they weren't really talking about Kenneth Walker Jr. to be a Heisman Trophy candidate until he just beat Michigan. Well, if you follow college football like you and I do, we knew that Kenneth Walker was a really good player. He was on my ballot for the Heisman Trophy, but it's like everybody forgot about him until he was on a game that everybody was watching on national television, and he brought Michigan State back and beat Michigan. So it's kind of interesting. I think Oklahoma is better than Michigan. I think Oklahoma is better than Cincinnati. I think them and Ohio State would be a great game, but it wouldn't surprise me if they don't beat Ohio State. I think they're better than Oregon. I think they're better than Michigan State. I think Oklahoma and Alabama and Oklahoma and Georgia would be great games. I think Oklahoma is one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the country. Now, I cover them every day. I listen to them every day. I got it. But their results and how they played has not proven it to everybody else. And the first college football poll proved that.
Okay, we talk about one of the best teams in the country. What about one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football? And that, of course, is Caleb Williams, who took over the starting job in that after that dramatic win over Texas. Just give us your assessment of his play, his production, and where does he fit, James, into the Heisman conversation?
Well, he's Superman. That's his nickname. That's his moniker, right? Well, he is Superman.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done some amazing things. And as a true freshman, he is a true freshman, not a redshirt freshman. And the only thing I can compare it to is Jamel Holloway back in 1985.
Oh, yeah.
Who, when Troy Aikman went down, and I thought Troy was going to revolutionize OU's wishbone at the time with his ability to throw. And Troy was a 4'6 guy, could run it, big, strong guy. He gets hurt, gets knocked out. Jamel comes back. OU goes back to the real bone, and they win the national title in 85. What's interesting about this is a wide-open offense. Caleb didn't play his senior year in high school because of COVID. He enrolls early, has to take two academics. He has to graduate from high school, and he has to start his college curriculum at OU. He's got all that going on. He goes through three spring football, and he gets into the summer. He gets into training camp, and he's clearly the backup quarterback. It's not a competition. He's clearly the backup quarterback to Spencer Rattler. But he just kept working, kept getting better, and when he got his opportunity, he's been magical. Every game, he's had a big run. He's had as many big runs as Oklahoma's had since Marcus Dupree. You know, every game, it's a 40, 60, 45-yard run. Only in the last two, when he's really concentrated on throwing the ball, you know, has he not really had the big run, but all he did was throw for six touchdown passes, which tied Baker Mayfield, who was already in his third year of college football when he did it, and Kyler Murray, who was in his fourth year of college football when he did it, and he's done it as a true freshman. So he's been magical. I don't think he's going to have enough time to really get into the Heisman Trophy race, but believe me, the way he is playing, without question, he's one of the top three to four players in college football.
Hey, James, we've not had a chance to talk and reflect on that big win against Texas Tech. Give us your takeaways.
Well, Texas Tech, you know, they just fired Coach Wells, and that's another thing we could get into one day if we ever have time and things like that about coaches getting fired in midseason.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember Sonny Cumbie, right, when he was a quarterback, right? So, you know, you got that. And he and Lincoln are buddies because Sonny was a young coach on the staff when Lincoln got his opportunity to be a offensive coordinator because they had gotten rid of Mike Leach at a, you know, during the season before the bowl game. So this is an interesting deal. I mean, Texas Tech's got a good offense. I thought OU's defense was much better. Tech only put together two long drives against them. Oklahoma got them off the field, forced them to punt, or got into turnover 10 times in that game. That's a big improvement for the defense in that game. The Sooners didn't run it very well, but Caleb said, okay, no problems, and he throws for 402 and six touchdowns. It was cool to get Spencer Rattler in the game, and the crowd cheered Rattler. Remember, they booed him just a few weeks ago.
Right.
And it turns out maybe they weren't booing him as much as they were booing the offense because all of a sudden the line's blocking. And the way the crowd reacted, because now he's been humbled, and now they want to, you know, try to bring him up and get him going because they know, and like we all do, that he's probably going to be needed at some point during the season. So that was great to see. And Spencer looked great. He got protection, threw the ball downfield. So that was their most complete game. They get into the bye week, and they've been waiting for this bye week for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Coach Riley has worked them three times this week. The coaches are on the road recruiting. You know, so they'll come back refreshed, and they're going to have a really, really strong finish in November when Oklahoma usually plays its best football.
Ultimately, though, what do you think is the future for Spencer Rattler? Do you think he sticks around and is patient?
No, he can't be that patient, can he? I mean,
right.
You know, he thinks he's an NFL quarterback, and I think he's an NFL quarterback.
Okay.
The key question is, at the end of the year, does he still declare and go and trust his ability at the combines, and he's going to answer questions correctly? And he's going to have a guy behind him in Lincoln Riley that will push for him. Lincoln knows he's not going to be on the team next year. He knows he's not. He can't. He can't come back and back up Caleb Williams. And they can't go back to Spencer Rattler. They can't even call it a competition. Caleb Williams is the quarterback from this point on for the next 2 years. There's no doubt about it. So he will either transfer to another program, and in my opinion, 98% of the teams in the country are going to want him. You may have an established quarterback, but they're not Spencer Rattler. And he's going to have his choice of schools. And, you know, he may be look for that one, that Russell, you know, Wilson type deal, or that one Kyler Murray deal. Of course, Kyler, when he came here, you know, he thought he would only be he thought he'd get 2 years. He only got one. But look, it still worked out for him. Spencer will be looking for that kind of opportunity, and there's going to be a lot of schools out there that would love to have him.
It is week 10 of the college football season. The conversation is going to continue from CBS Sports Radio Network, James Hale, after this quick break.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1 Sports Map Radio Network. We're going to continue our Week 10 college football conversation with James Hale from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. Hey, we're talking about the Big 12 Conference, specifically the Oklahoma Sooners, always our go-to guy from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. That is James Hale, who is joining us this morning on Sports Map Radio Network here in Hour 1. So let's back up just a moment. Talking about coaching changes mid-season, give us your takeaways about, what happened in Fort Worth with legendary coach Gary Patterson. I thought that was pretty pitiful.
Well, I think it's pitiful, too. And yeah, we'll see if TCU can really get a better coach than him. Now, the key question is this. You know, I don't know if football had caught up to Coach Patterson. And was he really the guy that was going to be great? Could he have reinvented himself and kept the Horned Frogs moving in a positive direction in the way that college football seems to be played today? I mean, TCU wasn't recruiting very well. They weren't having good years. They weren't having a good season. Things didn't look to be going right. I would have thought that they would have sat down with him and said, this is what we see, Coach. How do you see it? And, Coach, what do we got to do to get recruiting going again, to get those great quarterbacks coming in? And what do we got to do, Coach, to get these receivers and to get your defense, Coach, playing where it can? They might have hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
But instead, they walked in and said, we're going to make a change. That definitely hurt his feelings, to the point that he said, I don't want to be a part of the program the rest of the way. I'll just leave tomorrow, which he hasn't done. I know Monday he was in helping the staff. I understand Tuesday he was in helping the staff. And so, you know, he hasn't totally left. He's trying to make sure the staff is good, and that's Gary Patterson. He's a really good head coach. He's the best coach they've ever had.
Yep.
And the fact that this move was made at midseason, or, 60% of the games in, doesn't help TCU moving forward. It's not going to help them get their next great coach. And who's that going to be? And I wonder if it will be better than Gary Patterson. I just think there's better ways. Gary Patterson helped them build that stadium, helped them build those facilities, has brought incredible, more people are watching TCU, I'm looking for the right word, than most of the time would, and it's all because of Gary Patterson. You know, he's got more eyeballs now watching TCU just because he's been there. So I just thought it was crazy. I know Lincoln Riley was really upset about it and said so during his press conference. It just doesn't make any sense, see, that they want to go that route and do that.
Yeah, what a legacy. Hey, James Hale has been with us this morning in Hour 1 Sports Map Radio Network. Check him out online, CBS Sports Radio Network, and also subscribe to Patreon Die Hard Sooner Reports. James, you're the best. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
You too. See ya. Bye.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way right after this quick timeout. Hey, James, we've not had a chance to talk and reflect on that big win against Texas Tech. Give us your takeaways.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.